Because God's here. Because God's here. Oh, and because we're here. And we're here with God. And God is for us. If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, I'll give $5 to anybody that, well, no. Let's see. Well, I better check, first of all. Who can remember the two Hebrew words for judgment and righteousness? Judgment and righteousness. Oh, man, I'm broke now. That's good. We'll take two offerings today. Mishpat. Everybody say mishpat. Now, mishpat is a judgment of God. That's under his left hand. God has two hands, left hand. Under the left hand of God, mishpat. Okay, mishpat. Mishpatim is the plural. When he judges, he never judges to destroy you. He only wants to destroy that which hurts you, that which is wicked, not good. So he always uses his judgments not to destroy, but to purify. So his fire, the same fire that burns up your flesh, actually purifies your spirit. So God's judgments are not for destruction. Never have been, never will be, ever. Now, those that refuse to believe that God is good and believe that he's not good, that he's evil, that he wants us to behave so then he can, you know, give us something. That's not true. God does not want you to behave. And by the way, you haven't. Nobody has ever behaved. Well, you misbehaved. But nobody ever did what he said. So that's good news, because we didn't behave well. So everybody gets mishpat, judgment. But again, it's not to destroy. It's to purify. And it's to make us say, and just all you got to say, this pleases God so much. God, you're right. I was wrong. That killed me in my marriage to say that. I remember saying that first time to Peggy. Okay, you were right. I was wrong. It killed me. I remember coming around the door. I said, okay, God, you were right. I was wrong. And then I walked away quickly. I never said I was wrong to her in my life. I always wanted to be right. Is anybody else like me? And yeah, Peggy raised her head because she's just like that. But when does she come to me and say, I'm sorry, I was wrong and you were right? Well, it's really for Jesus. And so we forgive, like God. We forgive and we forget. You know, we don't call it up. Though I want to tell you about Peggy for a minute. No. I was just about remembering that. No, we forget that people sin against us. Amen? Because they do all the time, because apart from me, you can do nothing. In other words, that's what people do. Even Christians sin. I don't know if you know this, but some Christians sin, even in this church. I've seen it firsthand. I've seen it. And sometimes even pastors do. I don't know. I'm not one, but there are some that do. No, sinning is typical among Christians. I don't know if you know it, but you're never going to have in this world a time when you don't sin. Okay? You all see that? So we don't believe in that kind of perfection. We believe in perfection, which is God keeping his promise to purify you through his judgments, left hand, and tzaddik, this is mishpat, and then tzaddik, his righteousness. Now, his righteousness or his justice means, and this is what justice always means, because justice under the law would kill you for doing wrong. But under the gospel, under the good news, under the equity of God, you're forgiven, mercy, and then empowered and enabled to do what's right because God made a promise. So this is the law over here, command. This is the promise over here. Don't do anything. I'll do it all. This is the command. You do it or I'm going to send you to hell. I don't know why that's not good news. How many know that is not good news? If you make one if you do one sin, you're finished. How do you know? That's mean. That is mean of God to do that. But you see, he's perfect and he wants everybody to be perfect. So you can't go to heaven unless you're perfect. So how many here are going to heaven? How are you getting there? Yeah, he's perfect, and he can't lie. And so we're in, just like that. I didn't even do anything. Of course, he didn't even want me to do anything. He doesn't like the stuff I do because I always put my thumb on it. God, I did that. A little credit. How many know that we will try to get glory no matter what? You know, even while we're in line in heaven, we're about to be, you know, come before the Maker. He's going to say something. I know I'm going to sin. I just know it. I'm just going to, I'll poke the guy ahead of me or something. I'll do something. Because I just can't, I just have had never a serious bone in my body. Is there anybody like me? Totally unserious. Totally a joke. A joke. Because when he says, be ye perfect, I never respond to that. It's like, okay, that's cool. Somebody can try on that one. There's no contest. I'm not doing it. Because I can't even please Peggy. You know, I don't even please myself. And I'm not taking myself seriously. I take him seriously. So the good news is that God never lies. And if anything good comes out of you, that's a miracle. If anything good comes out of you, it is not you. You didn't produce that. You're a branch. He's the vine. Any fruit that came out, that didn't come from the branch. Break the branch off and you'll find that out. The fruit's gone. So the only way you can produce fruit is to be grafted, joined, set into by somebody, not us. I can't. A branch can't jump up into the tree. I'm in. You can't do it. You don't get to repent. You don't get to believe. You don't get to do anything. God just does that stuff. Now, he doesn't do it without your permission. He doesn't force you. But the vine dresser is God. And God just comes and cuts you like that. And then when you hurt a lot, you rethink the thing about, you know, why lie on the ground here? I'll let God stick me into Jesus because I'm going to be apparently burned up. Apparently I'm going to, I don't have a future. And so a lot of people postpone that deal. Like, God, I think I'll just postpone that. I'm going to sin all the way to the last minute. And at the last minute, I'll take the little jump. You know, but in the meanwhile, I'm going to kind of straddle the thing from the boat to the shore, to the dock. You know, I haven't decided yet. I say I'll go all the way with God, go all the way in the world. I think I'll stay right here in the middle, kind of straddle my bets. Kind of not hot, not cold, but kind of lukewarm. You know, I'm not against God, but I'm not really that for him. How many know that God wants hot? He wants not hot in the world to come, but hot in this world right now. Wants that perfection. So the judgments come not only on Israel for being wicked, hypocrites. Not only does he do that for Jewish people. You know Jewish people are hypocrites and liars because they're always saying, are you keeping Torah? Are you keeping the law? Are you walking in Torah? That means the first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Are you doing what God wants? Or at least are you making a big effort? Are you sincere about the thing? I'd be out right there. I couldn't be Jewish. I had a rabbi sitting here not too long ago, and that's what he said to me. You'll never be Jewish. I'll never be Jewish. I don't want to be Jewish. You guys work too hard. You're too serious, too honest, too wonderful. I don't want to be like that. I like free gifts. So he thought that was cheap. He thought that was cheap. But I'm getting in cheap. Jesus paid expensive. I'm cheap. Because Jesus doesn't trust me. I mean, no, Jesus does not trust you. He doesn't trust you. He doesn't believe. He does not believe that you can build anything eternal, perfect, heavenly, good. He believes that there's nothing good in you. How many agree with that? That's good. You're well taught. Now I owe everybody $5. There you go. So God wants Mishpat even to come to his church. In fact, the big deal that God's into right now, today, this year, is I'm going to separate the church from the church. Those that are bridal and, you know, wanting to be before God without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, ready, hot, passionate, balloons, ice cream, the whole bit. Those that are like that, they just live for Jesus, and that's only about four people. But anyway, that group. And then those that are lukewarm or cold, that he's not going for that group. How many know he's only coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing? That's what he's coming back for. He wants a girl that is, you know, clean. And the only way that can happen is if he does it. Because I can't do it. I don't want to do it. I'm not going to do it. I didn't do it. So there you have it. So how many realize you will never make it if it's up to you? How many, you really got that down? Pastor, I don't even try. I'm like you. I don't even try because I know I can't make it. Are you like that, Jonathan? Yeah, I thought that. I don't know. It's just a guess, but I was right. I was right. Let's see. Luke, are you?
You got me.
Two in a row. How about you? You think it could still be good or maybe do a little bit of good? No, see, you're not sure. Okay, lukewarm. All right. Definitely not. Yeah, you better talk to him. How about you? Do you think you can do it? Be perfect?
What makes you think that?
Yeah, that's good. You're out. Okay, no, you're in. That's good, actually, because you're gonna rely on Jesus, right? The whole way. Woohoo! How about you? No. Pretty certain. Now, you see, none of us are qualified. None of us need to be. Jesus never said you had to be. That's just the left hand, the law, telling you, putting all the weight on you, putting all the pressure on you to behave. Be like me. Be perfect like me. Be holy like me. How many know that that is too tough? Unless you're a pastor. Unless you're a pastor, because maybe for pastors it's okay. David and me, we're pretty good. And I'm not sure about David, but I'm all right. Now, this free gift over here is for people that are losers, for people that are failures, for people that never did a good thing in their life. Is that you? Yeah, it's me. I wasn't going to say it, but I was thinking it. I was thinking it. Yeah, right. You did. You beat me to the punch. All right. So over here is freebie. This is all free. That's a scandal to this world. The whole world believes that you should behave. And they put incredible pressure on kids, on themselves, on mates, on, you know, churches and whatnot. Because everyone wants everyone to behave. How many know that it ain't going to work? Unless the Lord build the house, they that labor, labor in. Those that labor, labor in vain because you can't build the house. Oh, by the way, you are the house. And Jesus is the builder. I love that. That is so... That is so easy. It's probably too easy, is it not? Most churches aren't stupid like I am to preach how good that thing is too good. You can be a sinner and you still get in? And for God, that's all there is. All have sinned. And one sin keeps you out. So the only way you can get in is if you get in Jesus, who didn't sin. And so his righteousness is your righteousness because he accounts that. He credits you with that. He declares that to you as a judge from the right hand of equity, not law. Under the law, you're finished. But under the gospel, everybody can make it. Even wicked Pharaoh can make it. I don't care who it is. Adolf Hitler can make it. All you got to do is nothing. Just believe that he's done everything. Now, let's say I'm going to say, I'm going to believe. You can't even do that. You just hear it and you believe it or you don't believe it. That's all. Well, I'm going to at least repent. Nah, you can't even do that. How many know your repentance would be worth baloney? It wouldn't work. God, I mean it. All right, I'm serious. Today, this is the last. All right, this is it. I'm never going to do that again. How many know that you're a liar? Let God be true and every man a liar. Now, if you don't get these basics down, you won't understand the story in the scripture that God started out with this, but secretly actually had this first. The right hand was actually first because Jesus is the cornerstone. And then later, he introduces this original. And so actually the second becomes first because it was first. So when God gave the law, by the way, 430 years before the law, he spoke to Abraham and Abraham believed. Why? Because what God said to him was, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. Seven times, he made a promise. What he would do, and nothing on Abraham's side. One-sided. Unilateral. So it wasn't an agreement like, if you do this, or you know, then I'll do this. That was Moses. Moses was the law guy. Abraham was before him. He was the promise guy. So you have two covenants in the Old Testament, the promise and the law. The covenant of law is Moses. That's if you do something, then God will do something. Like if you're good, he'll reward you. If you're bad, well, you know, you get the curse. So I don't like that one. I'm no good on laws. I've never been good on laws. I've always been lawless my whole life. Is anybody else like me? Lawless. Completely lawless. Not only outwardly, but inwardly. There's something rebellious inside of my natural man. They just never wanted to behave. And I could blame my mom and my, you know, three dads and all that junk, but the truth is, it's just me. I was what they call a bad seed. Anybody ever been like me? Thank you. 1, 2, 3. I'm going to count them. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay. That's good. That's good. I want to be at home. Now, God wants to get all the glory, all the glory, all the glory. He doesn't want you to have any glory. You get no glory. You just get the free gift. He just sets the ice cream before you and says, "Here, take it. Eat it. I just give you everything because I know you can't earn it, so I'm just going to give it to you for free." It's kind of like, you know, the welfare state thing. You just get it for free. You don't have to do anything. Just, you know, just relax. Take it. I love God. He is so good to me. He's been so good. I'm in love with him. Why? Because love actually does make a difference in your life. When you're grateful and thankful to God because there's nothing for you to do, because he's done it all. I know most churches teach that God does his part and then you do your part. I don't believe that. What part would I do? What would be acceptable to God if it weren't perfect? If everything in heaven is perfect and God is perfect, what would I do with my junk if I brought it in? Hey, God, I brought one of these things. And it was my best thing, too. What does God think of my best? Man at his best state is altogether vanity. And I was, don't bring that in here. Okay, well, I thought I'd help out a little bit. It was my best thing. How many know that God hates all your stuff, and especially your best stuff? Because you have confidence in your best stuff, right? You believe that at least you had some decency in you. I've never had that, but some of you definitely thought you were better than somebody else. I have not thought that. I'm sorry. It has never occurred to me that I was good. Even when I was a little kid, I never felt like I was a good kid or nice or anything. I just faked it. I lied. I cheated. I stole. I did whatever I had to do to survive. That's it. Get through the business. Now, that's not good news to you, maybe. That's good news to me. That to me is gospel. I love that gospel. Is you mean all the junk I've done and I never did anything you said, I did everything you said not to do. You mean that qualifies me? I love that. Repeat that again. One more time. So I'm a saint because I was a sinner? That don't make any sense. I went against you and that's why you love me? Yeah, I just love everybody. How many know God loves everybody willy-nilly? He's not choosy. God has chosen everybody. It's kind of like the Texas barbecue. Y'all come. You know, everybody's welcome. Did you know that it says that in the Bible? God speaks Texan. Whosoever will may come. Y'all come. Come. In other words, you can be Pharaoh. You can be Esau. I don't care who you are. God will not reject anybody. I desire not the death. I take no pleasure in the death of any man. Wow, that's pretty big. What about Adolf? What about, you know, so-and-so and so-and-so? It's no different. God doesn't see any difference in any of us. Now, I know this is hard if you're a legalist. This is hard if you actually think you could do it or should do it, but you just didn't. I don't believe that. I don't believe you could. I don't believe you should. I don't believe God ever expected you to do anything good. I believe he put all his expectation on his son, Jesus. And I believe Jesus came down, performed, and he did it for me and you. He did it for me and you. So Jesus' death on the cross, that was what I was supposed to get. But Jesus took it and said, "You're free, Jim." Wow, you're kidding. Don't sit here in jail 1 minute longer. You know, I mean, a lot of Christians have been set free, but they're still in bondage, I can tell. They're still sitting in the jail cell, even though the door's open. Even though they could get out, they actually feel they should pay they still feel they should do something. You can't do anything. So, mishpatim, tzaddik. The mishpatim is the judgments of God, and the only purpose of those is to drive you to the right hand where you get the mercy, the righteousness, the justice of God. So the true righteousness of God is not how you're righteous or even that God is righteous. The true righteousness of God is not that he's righteous and you're bad and so he has to judge you. Here's the true righteousness. That God is righteous by making you righteous who don't deserve it, who don't have any power, who have no goodness, no power, and no brains. Did you know that you're not as smart as you think you are? Is everybody aware of that? Is everybody aware of that? I mean, it just takes a little, you know, get married or something. You just find out after a while, gee, I thought Peggy was going to worship me when we got married. Man, she didn't even, you know, she wasn't showing me the respect I was thinking she was supposed to give me. Kelly, you do that, don't you? Yeah, that's it. I love it. I love it. Yeah. Yeah, lying in church will get you in trouble. So, no, God doesn't care. God's not into sin. He actually knows that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Actually knows that. And that's why he sent Jesus. The only reason he sent him is because we needed him. The only reason we needed him is because he said we did. Because I didn't know I needed him. I didn't even want him. When I heard about Jesus, I just thought, what an idiot. Why would the guy die for sinners? That don't even make sense. At least under Buddhism, you have to go the eightfold way. I don't even know all eight. I don't even know one of them. All I know is it sounds like something I have to do. And Hinduism, you know, a bunch of caste things. I don't know what those are either. Untouchables and Brahmins and all that. So I just couldn't do any of the other religions which wanted me to behave. Catholicism, I knew I couldn't be a good Catholic. Judaism, no way. I can't do all that ritual stuff and talk myself into stuff and try to cybernetic myself into whatever you're supposed to be. Do you all see that? So these two words are what this chapter I'm about to look at is all about. Judgments, not for you, for Jesus. Did you know that Jesus took all of our judgments so that we could go free over here? So the judgments over here against my sin don't make me unhappy at all because Jesus paid for them all. Peg, where are you going? Check the lasagna. Okay. And then. And she thinks she's going to go to heaven. Perfect wife. How many know that God gives you only good gifts? He doesn't have any bad gifts. He doesn't have any bad news. There is no bad news in the Bible. I know what it says. There's no bad news in the Bible. You read it wrong. You read it wrong. Everything when it says, you know, this judgment, it fell on Jesus. He got all of it. Every bit of the judgment, that went right onto Jesus. Nah, it's not just because he got whipped and beaten and spit on and all that. It was that Jesus said, I take the sins of the world on me. That's just a word, but I happen to believe that word's true. First of all, I need to because I don't have anything good going for me. Never have, never will. I don't try to behave. I don't try to be a good husband. I don't try to be a good pastor. I don't try to be anything. I don't try at all. Why? Why don't I try? Because I already know it's no contest. I'm not going to be good. And if he says I have a new heart, then I have one. But I don't know that. I just believe that. All I did was read it in the book, and one day I didn't believe it, didn't believe it, didn't believe it, didn't believe it, and then some years later, I believed it. Isn't that amazing? You know what caused that? Crisis. Crisis. The crisis wasn't that I was in trouble. The crisis actually was I was succeeding everywhere. And all of a sudden, I realized there was nothing. I was not only a fake and a phony and a liar and so on. I just knew even though everything, I was getting away with murder, doing everything, getting the right, you know, schools, the right degrees, the right everything. But I just realized, and I don't know how it happened. I just knew that I knew that I knew this stinks. This whole world stinks. And I knew it was more demonic than I understood. It was more bigger than me. You know, I was going to conquer and so on. If you do that, you have to go to the right schools and get the right degrees. And I was going to get more than any other human being just to brag. Can you imagine? I mean, I didn't have any noble ideas, but I just had a raw, rotten idea Anybody else had that ever? You know, just a selfish, proud, arrogant, stupid. Anybody like that? Yeah. Well, that's good. I love the people that don't raise their hands. It is good. I love that. Oh, that's good. That's good. Okay. Anyway, we're all in the same boat, whether we like it or not. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Let's say this is the Grand Canyon, and I'm going to jump from this pew. I better take a run here. I'm going to jump from this pew over to that pew. Okay? Do y'all think I can do it? No. But let's say instead of doing that, I just slipped down the Grand Canyon this way. But another guy took a long run and jumped all the way to here, but he never made it to the other side. It's a big difference to us, but really, when you hit the bottom, it's not much of a difference. I've jumped further than you! You idiot! God doesn't count any of your good works. You know, your great energy and your brilliance and your beauty and your wealth and, you know, all your positions and so on. It's all worth nothing. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Now, is there one person here that knows that your whole life is nothing but vanity? I mean, just total made up. Okay, about a third. Let's do it again because I think there's probably more. Is there anybody who realizes? I mean, you just know. I am completely vain. That's more like it. That's good. That was about 6/8. That'd be 3/4. Okay. Now, that's what God says. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Everything you do and think and say and want and feel, vain, worthless. But what God thinks and what God says and what God does, not vain. So He says and He thinks, and His thoughts toward you are always thoughts of shalom, peace. In other words, every time God thinks of me, He just feels peaceful toward me. Ah, Jim, my beloved. I think that's funny. Totally undeserved, totally not true. If I met a guy like me, I would hate him. I would immediately despise him. And I would criticize him just within a second. I don't know if you have this gift or not, but I can go to an airport, just look at people for about a second. Yeah, she's fat. She's wearing the wrong dress. He is stupid. I wouldn't marry him at all. You know, and I can just judge people. I'm very quick. I don't know anything about them, but I'm just sitting there just measuring people by the way they look and the way they walk and stuff. I just know them. And I just know right away, I'd marry him. I would marry her. You know, I'm quick. Does anybody have that gift? It's just completely stupid. Has no relationship to reality. But I'm a quick judge. And I don't have to make myself do it. I just do it automatically. I just sit there. I'm never bored. I'm just sitting there. Wow. Look at that. She should wear stripes this way rather than this way. Green does not look good on him. Yeah, he looks silly. And I'm good. I'm good at that. And I really take myself seriously in that. In that regard, I do. Because I have that gift. I have the gift of the Holy Spirit anointed, to be able to make a quick judgment within a nanosecond. I can even do groups sometimes. and just, you know, I make my judgments. And of course, they're pitiful, but still, they're mine. God judges everything that we do here as zero, nothing. Not just evil, but nothing. Evil to God is the same as nothing. But over here, everything He's done, and if we get into that, in other words, if we believe that, you don't have to believe it. You can't make yourself believe it. But if you do believe it, then you're in. You exist. You am. I mean, God is am. Once, you know, Moses asked him, well, what should I say is your name? Tell him I am that I am. What? Tell him that I am that I am. I mean, like a name. I'm talking about a name. He says, yeah, just tell him that. Because He's the only one that am. He's the only one that exists. In other words, He not only exists, but He is self-existent. We aren't. We exist, but we only exist for a few years, and then we're gone. A moment, we're gone. It's nothing. You have nothing here. You don't have anything. You're not going to take it with you. Okay? And by the way, America's being judged right now. I don't know if you know that. Politically, economically, socially, and spiritually, the church itself is being judged. But the only one that counts is the last one. God really doesn't care one flip about Obama or Romney or any other clown that's out there. He doesn't care about politics. Did you know that God doesn't vote? not in the vote. He knows what's going to happen. But God does care about his church. He doesn't care about the money system, you know, how you're this and that and so on. But he does care about his church. He's looking for a church without spot or wrinkle, any such thing, a perfect church. We're not quite there. How many know we're not there? We're not there. So the only thing we can do is call on God and say, God, you do it. I can't do it. I don't want to do it. And I can't. And I won't. You do it. How many know God loves that? You just surrender to God. Say, God, look, I'm just going to take your finished thing, that thing you finished right there. You said right there, that was my whole righteousness, my joy, my peace, my all in all. I'm taking that. So now I please God. Does everybody here please God? He's totally pleased with me. I mean, incredibly pleased. Even though my behavior stinketh and so on, I don't care about it. I'm not even looking at it. You can look at it. I'm not looking at it. I'm looking at that right there. That's me. That's the new me. That's a whole new creation. And it doesn't make any sense except, you know, I read it in the book. But that's the only way it makes sense because I don't even get it. I just believe in it. I totally believe that I'm a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. I've been born again. Simple, kid-like. It's me. Totally me. Totally me. I'm going to heaven. I may be last, but I'm going. I don't care where I am. Just get in line. Just going to get in line. Hey, take me. But Jesus will come back and get me. Jim, get in here. Because he likes me. Jim, no, this is for you. Oh, I thought you said saints. Yeah, you're one. You're a saint. I am? Yeah, because you believed in me. Oh, yeah. Saint Jim. So I'm in. I'm going. And not only that, but it's changed my life upside down. I upside down from where I was. Totally where I was. Lying, cheating, and all that stuff. It totally upchanged my whole life. When Peggy married me, I was not only imperfect, but I was proudly imperfect. I didn't want to be perfect. Whenever she would cry and say, you don't love me, I'd go, of course not. That's your own stupidity for marrying me. What's wrong with you? I ain't changing. You married me as is. And if you didn't, it's your problem. Should have asked Jesus. So you're the guilty one. Huh? Do you see that? Do you see that? Would you like to be married to me? I don't think so. But I thought it was a good marriage, didn't you, Peg? Well, you didn't, but do you now? Yeah. Say it again so people can hear that. She's glad she married me. Do you see that? Yahoo! Now, you're married. How's your marriage working out? Really? Oh, wow. You're a Christian? I love that. It's powerful. Yeah. It's good. Yeah. It's good. I'll tell you, the best has been saved to the last. Did you know that God has selected y'all, us, for the last? This, and by the way, something's going to happen this year now. It's either already happened or is about to happen or is happening right now. But it's going to happen during this year. That's going to change the world. What I mean by that, what God showed me, is that something's going to happen so big, so huge, it won't be political. It has nothing to do with that race. It won't be economic. It won't be. It won't be social, with people getting along and all that. It'll be spiritual. Something's going to happen. It's going to happen in Dallas first. Something's going to happen in Dallas. So you don't have to do it. We can just say, Yahoo, over here. But they're going to do it. Something God's going to do, not me, I'm not doing it. But I believe it's going to happen, and maybe it's already happened. Many people have said to me, it's already happened. And this is it. This is the sign that you were talking about. Or I believe there'll be signs in the heavens. I believe that you will actually see the hand of God if you're a believer. If you're not a believer, it'll just be like weird. But I believe God is going to do something to purify his church. That is, to divide his church into two parts. That which is hot for God, that which is lukewarm and cold. He's going to divide his church so that he's coming back for that pure, spotless bride. And I totally believe that. And it's going to happen. I mean, you don't have to make it. You don't have to say, well, I'll help out on that. No, don't help. It'll be something God will do. It's supernatural. It's just going to happen. And people will just start testifying weird. They will just stand up and say, boy, I had a dream the other night, or this happened to me, or just God showed me this, and I don't know why, but whatever. And it's not going to surprise me. It's not going to bless me. I already see it. I already believe in it. I don't have to see it to believe it. I just know that God is about to do something, and I could tell you 10 things that I think it might be, it could be, but I don't really care. All I know is God keeps his word. And you don't even need a vision or a word from God to know that he's about to come back and take his bride to himself. And I'm not saying this is the Jesus return time. I'm just saying it's the rehearsal time. I can hear the rehearsal. It's going on. And the whole world, it's not the church, by the way, that he's interested in. He's only interested in the church so that he can reach the world. He's not interested in the church itself. We can just go to heaven by faith. He's interested in the world seeing something that it has not seen, a church that was pure and spotless and undefiled. Hadn't seen that. So that men may see your good works and give the glory to the Father. They don't give you the glory. They don't give the church the glory. The church is the light. It is the salt. It's where the truth comes that convicts the world, and the love comes that they know that is what we don't have. We don't have that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. We don't have those fruits of the Spirit. How'd you get those? Where'd they come from? And it's just going to happen. It's just going to happen. So when it happens, we're all going to go like, wow, God showed us that. God told us that. That's it. That's it. Now, let's look at, we got probably an hour or so. We'll look at the 33rd chapter. Jesus was 33 when he died. This is the 33rd chapter of Isaiah. Woe to you that spoilest. He's talking about Assyria. And thou wast not spoiled. You spoil others, but you yourself are not spoiled. Israel was right at this particular time. This is about 600 some years before Jesus. Israel was in trouble because Assyria had just surrounded her and was about to swallow her up. And the Assyrian general told to the Israeli people, you're going to be destroyed. Just like America, you're going to be destroyed. There are people that are trying to destroy Israel today, and also America just want to destroy us. Just want to beat us, you know, one way or another. But that's great. Isn't that exciting? And when that happened, Israel, instead of turning to God, their God, they turned to Egypt. That's funny. So when you're in trouble, when you're afraid, don't turn to God. Turn to man. See what man can do for you. How many know, seek ye last the kingdom of God? You know, try everything else first. Try pills, try doctors, try, you know, some economic liars. Just try something. And then when that's exhausted, then go to God. Seek ye last. He says, God, we've tried everything and nothing's working. All right, we're down to you. It's that bad. It's that bad. It's that pitiful. How many know that when you turn to God, you know it's bad. When you have to trust in God for your life and your bread. How many know we're not trusting in God for our bread? Piggly Wiggly or whatever, we trust somebody else. But there will be a time when you realize, wow, unless God acts, we're finished. Now, we've escaped so far. We've been a blessed nation beyond all other nations, I think. We've been a blessed nation. But it wasn't because we were smart and good and true and brave and all that. It was because God. It was just because of God. It's just because we honored the word here and they didn't do it in Britain. And they're still not doing it. I'll just tell you, they're not doing it. And Germany didn't do it. And, you know, Italy didn't do it, and Spain didn't do it. And we just, all the stuff we came out of, they just weren't doing it. They were talking Christendom, they were talking Jesus and so on. But it was formal. It was completely external. It was not what God had in the Bible. And even though they were trying to break through and all that, killing one another and so on, you know how Christians operate. Crusades and you know, heresy and burn them at the stake kind of stuff. You can't force what's good. God never, ever forces what's good. He'll tell you what's good, but if you don't do it, it's your own. If you don't want to do it, it's your own. And he's not going to, like, take pity on you. He just told you what was good, and if you don't do it, it's your own. It's your own decision. No one can sleep for you. Sometimes I wake up, Peg, don't worry about it, I slept for you. And no one can eat breakfast for you. And I ate your breakfast too. So you don't have to worry about it. Nobody can make a decision but you, about you. You're the only one, not even God. God cannot, will not ever make your decisions for you. God, I hope you see what a pitiful person I am. That's your decision. I mean, things are pitiful. That's just a decision on your part. I'm not pitiful. I'm happy all the time. All the time. You are too, Dave? That's two of us. We got three? All right, we got another one. We got four? Happy all the time. Even when I'm dreaming. I'm happy. Peggy can tell you. We've been married, almost 50 years. Always happy. Always. Always. No matter what. Even when she's throwing the pot. You missed. You know, it doesn't make a difference. I'm happy. Even when she's tearing me down, emasculating me and so on, I love it. Just do it. It doesn't bother me one bit. I don't mind people abusing me, misusing me, hating me, misunderstanding me. So what? It's just part of life. Do y'all see that? Hello? This is the real life. Let's live in the real world, not a pretend imaginary utopia. We live in the real world. People are mean. I married Peggy as a sinner. Why would I want anything different? Y'all see that? And I'm a sinner too. Did you know that your dad's a sinner? Right there? You did? Yeah, it was good. I saw that. She right away agreed to that. It was good. But you still love him. Because you do love him. Yeah. We do love sinners. How many know that you are not to trust any man, but you're to love all men? You're not to trust any man, but you're to love all men. So when you marry a sinner, why be shocked or surprised when people sin? It's like, I can't believe you said that or did that. It's kind of like, hey, go for it. Because Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, over. What do I care? When Jesus says, I'm a saint, that's the end of it for me. And that's what he declared. Even though all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, he has forgiven and died for all men. So now, it's just your choice. You want to believe it or not. You want to take it or not. That's all. No one else is going to do it for you. God's not going to force it. God's not going to do anything, except he's very patient. He's waiting, but he's kind of like knocking on the door saying, I'm about to come. I'm about to judge the world, mishpat, and those that are under the right hand will be redeemed, saved. They'll go to the right. Those that are under the left hand will perish, everyone. So it's not up to them to do anything because they don't have any light and salt except us. So we on the right hand have to live in such a way that they can see it. In other words, let's say you're a Christian, but you're a secret agent and nobody knows. Because you've hidden it like under a bushel basket. When, you know, it says, put light into all the house, you're the light of the world. But if your light is put under a bushel basket, then nobody gets to see anything in the house. So the world is waiting on us to look like Christians, not just talk like, believe like. Who cares that you believe in Jesus? Who cares? Unless it issues in, results in, a change of your soul, death to yourself, and love to others. It's our love right now, and it's the only thing that will convict this world. Not miracles, not signs, not wonders. Lots of Christians run after those. They're good. They're of God. But I'll tell you something, you can't build your life on miracles, signs, and wonders. They're very temporary. I've had them, and they're neat and they're fun, and you think to yourself, you know, I'll never forget this day. But in a few minutes, I'm eating cookies somewhere. Hey, have you got any more of these cookies? And I forgot all about what he just did, and I didn't even thank him. Is anybody like me? You know, we're just people. And so God has rigged the world so that only he can make it go. He's rigged that you cannot make your marriage go, your business go, your health go. You can't make anything go. I don't care how dedicated and sincere and wonderful you are, you're not going to make it go. So, woe unto the spoiler who himself has not yet been spoiled. In other words, woe to Assyria who's about to conquer Israel. Here's Israel's problem. She thought, hey, we're scared of the Assyrians. They've conquered every nation in the world. They're the superpower of the day. They're about to take us, little Jerusalem, little Judah and Jerusalem, a small part. All the northern tribes, 10 northern tribes, already been taken by them. Our turn now. What should we do? And it doth not occur to them, let's call on God. They think to themselves, let's not. We've done a few sins. Maybe he'll want to get at those or something. You know, if we ask him, just God, get me out of this. And then you think, well, I don't deserve it. And so they turn to Egypt, that broken reed. And God said, okay, what I'm going to have to do then is remove Assyria, and you'll never see her again. Never. She'll never conquer you. And then I'll destroy Egypt too, because you relied on both of those, the one you were afraid of and the other one you looked to. That is so foolish. How many know that man can't help you? Foolish. Vain is the help of man with all your knowledge. I mean, I went to school, to top school in America. I went to the top to get more degrees than anybody else so that I have weapons galore. And I could use those weapons to get on top of the pile. How many know that being here as a pastor, I didn't amount to a hill of beans? I never did get to the top of the pile. But I had the ability, I had the capacity. I had degree after degree and so on and all that junk. And then God came along and ruined the whole thing. And he said, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. I remember that ruined my whole life right there. That was the end of it. Hey, what are you doing? You know, I'm about to graduate with incredible, I was the top of the top, the creme de la creme. You took 5 courses, I took 10, literally. I always took double what everybody else did. I was always way out there. And you know what? It's all junk. All that learning and all that pride and all that stuff. Are you understanding? Now, God, that didn't bother God. He just wanted to go and ruin my little party, pop my balloon. And he did that 1964, just after Kennedy was killed. He just destroyed my life forever and just showed me, you're nothing but a vain, empty zero. Whoa, come on, I'm top. I'm going somewhere. I'm not just a loser. I'm going somewhere. I want to be somebody. I want to be like Clinton, George Bush. I want to be like Obama, Harvard, Yale, you know, all that stuff. I had scholarships to Harvard, to Yale, to Union. I had another one in California, another one in Aberdeen, Scotland, another one in Heidelberg, Germany. So I had scholarships to the top schools around the world. Could go anywhere because I cheated and lied. That's how I got through. And it was great. It worked. I'll tell you, crime pays. It worked. It really did. Now, that's bad. I shouldn't have said that. But Peggy can tell you, I was a liar and a thief and a cheat and so on. And I got to the top that way. But anyway, that's not smart, because sooner or later you're going to get caught. But I had not been caught. And when I did get caught one time, I lied my way right out of that one. I was good. I was a play actor. All you had to do was cry. All you had to do was cry. Oh, God, I'm so sorry. You know, and they just let me off. As anybody as wicked and foolish and stupid as I am. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay, I just want you to know that's the flesh. The flesh does that. The flesh will do anything. Just check little kids out. Did you eat this cookie? And the little kid's got the crumbs all over his face. No. Because they know the issue for them is not that they eat it. The issue is you're going to be spanked if you say yes. So they don't. They lie. And they go, no. No. And they're still munching on them. And they know you're going to spank them. So they're going to lie. They're just going to try to get through the moment. Are you all aware of that little kids will do that? I mean, I don't care how much church you give them. They will still, when they see that little cookie, or you can go in and you have a little figurine on the table, and it's grandmother's thing that she had since she was a little girl, and then your little kid is there, you know, 2 years old. You say, do not touch that. And that little kid is going to, and if there's nothing else in the room, they're going to go right up to that table and not touch it because you just said not to. But what's going to happen? They're just going to stand there and look at it, wait till you're not there. Then they're going to grab that little figurine and stick it right in their mouth. They're going to do it because they're curious and they don't know why they can't eat that tree, that forbidden tree. We're all like that. Everybody here is like that. You will do things that are forbidden. Could I hear a loud amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Okay, it's okay. Jesus Christ paid for all that. It's all paid for. I know it's cheap, but so what? Take it. But Jesus wants to remake you. He doesn't want you to remake you. He's the only one that can make you a new creation. Now, Israel's in deep trouble, and here's the scripture I want to end with. Even though I just read one verse, it's covering the whole chapter. I read it over and over again. Yeah, I did the whole thing in Dallas. I did this morning. So you can get that one. I go through it line by line, verse by verse, Hebrew word by Hebrew word, you know. Awesome. But for you, here's what God says. God, your God, is your, first of all, what? He's got three things. Judge, that's called Shaphat. Shaphat. He's your judge. Then he's your lawmaker, okay? Shakak. Shakak. It's S-H-A-Q-A-Q, Shakak. That's the Hebrew. And so he's your judge. He's the one that's going to judge you. You can't judge yourself. Other people can't judge you. God's the only one that can judge you. He's the only one that knows your heart. He's the only one that knows you on the inside and the outside. So he's your judge. Then he's your lawmaker. He gave you the law that you're breaking. Left hand. And your king. And then it says, and that's Melech. The king is Melech. So those three Hebrew words. And he, now is the he all three or just the king? Doesn't matter, but it's all three. But it comes right after the king. He shall save you. And the word for save is Yeshua. Salvation in the Hebrew is Yeshua, which is the name Jesus. So Jesus means Yah, the Yah in the Hebrew always shows future. He shall save. So if he will save us, it's talking about Jesus. And he's our king. He's our judge. All judgment's been given to me, remember, in heaven and earth. He said it, and when he rose from the dead, here's what he said. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. My Father gave me all authority in heaven. God turned it over to me, so I judge angels, I judge everything up there too. And on earth, I judge everything. I mean everything. I judge the economy, I judge politics, I judge it all. And believe me, his judgment will be just. He will save us. He's talking then to his people, saying, God is our king. He is our judge. He is our lawgiver. Those three things are what our government was built upon, by the way, in theory. In practice, it hasn't worked out that way. But the foundations aren't yet destroyed. They aren't yet destroyed. So God still is our lawmaker, our judge, and our king. That's the executive, legislative, and judicial branches. That's where we got that idea, right there from that scripture. Now, that's natural, because it's written on the heart of every man, but it's also scripturally revealed. So there's no question then, that's the way it is. Now, that King Jesus, who is also our judge, who is also our lawmaker, gave us another law, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which have set us free. Right hand. So now we have the law of Moses and the law written on every man's heart, law, but those laws condemn me. Because if I sin, I die. That's the law of sin and death. You sin, you die. If I'm not perfect, I die. I don't just get to say, well, I'm better than she is. I'm better than he is. I'm better than I was last week. This week I've read my Bible every day. Gah. Isn't that good? No, God doesn't count that. If you sin one time, it's over. Well, if that's the case, I'll just sin all the time. I know some people have thought that was brilliant. Hey, if it doesn't make any difference, you might as well just go for it. You might as well have a good time. Let's live like hell all the way to heaven. And then, I mean, after all, you can't go to heaven unless you're perfect, and I'm already not, so it's over. Now, I mean, how do you know that is not the way to reason? A better way is to find out if God is not a mean God that just gives you a law and doesn't also give you a gospel somewhere. Find out. Maybe we live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Law, gospel. Law, gospel. Left hand, right hand. Command, promise. What if God's made a promise? And he made that before the law to Abraham. I will, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. Now, when he made that sevenfold promise, whatever God said right there, I'll make your name great, I'll make you, you know, bless all the families of the earth, all this kind of stuff. Anyone who blesses you will be blessed, anyone who curses you will be cursed, and so on. That was a promise to Israel. But that law also is the same law that's written on your heart. So there is a freedom and a promise that comes. We're under that one. That's why Jesus, the lawgiver, he gives the law, but he gives the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is not against the law. The Holy Spirit is a new kind of law that actually completes the old kind of law. Nothing's made perfect under the law. But this is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. This is the law that says anytime God wants to, he can forgive a sinner. If he wants to, it's his choice. Even though he knows what right and wrong is, he has to punish the wrong. But if he wants to, he could send Jesus to be the one that he punishes for you. Now, he can do that. That's according to the law. So he did do that. And that's what he did, and therefore I'm free. Even though I didn't keep the law, I did keep the law through Jesus. That is, Jesus did that for me, and then he's doing it in me, and now he'll do it through me, and he's going to actually have me perfect by the time the trumpet blows and this world is over. Now, I believe that's soon. I don't really care. I'm not into the date thing. But I am into this. It'd be good to get ready today just in case. I don't know how soon it is, but in case it's, you know, within a few years, I better get my house in order, and I'll tell you what, my house is not yet perfect. I'm working on Peggy, I'm praying for her, but I think we'll get there. I'm still working on it. Amen. Praise God. But she's a tough one. You might think she's sweet looking and acting, but she's not, Nick. She is not. She's not nice. Tell him, Peg. Did you hear that softly? Gently? But inside she's raging. I hate to say that. Because she actually believes she is nice, and she was nice enough to say that. So she's nice. Now, the truth is that none of us is perfect, and none of us ever will be. But Jesus is, and he did it for us. Therefore, we are perfect. Therefore, by faith, I say this. You are a new creation. The old has passed, and the new has come. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. And therefore, live by that. Live on that promise, and you'll be the light and the salt to this world, that they may see your good works. Give glory to the Father in heaven, and then the Lord will return. Because Israel will be restored, and she is about to be restored. I'm talking about Netanyahu. I'm talking about, you know, Mordechai, who is the high rabbi in Jerusalem. Real people that are still alive, they know about Yeshua HaMashiach. And they are already believing. This is they on their own, not because some Christian talked to them. On their own, they have decided that the two sticks in the Old Testament, which we haven't gotten to yet, those two sticks are going to be tied together, and they believe one of them is Jew and one of them is Gentile. In other words, they already themselves know that the war we've been having with each other for 2,000 years is wrong. And that they are beginning to open up and talk to us. I had for about 3 years sitting right here. We had a little table set up every week. We'd have lunch together, the chief rabbi here in town. And he wanted to come and meet with me and talk with me. And you say what Jesus stuff says, and I'll say what, you know, Moses stuff says. And we talked about every issue there was. We have it all recorded, by the way. And we were going to write a book. We never did because he went to New Jersey. But it's powerful. And I tell you what, we were like close. Why? Because spiritually speaking, he said, I'm never going to be a Christian. I said, yeah, you might make a good one. And he said, you would even make a good rabbi. And I said, no, I wouldn't. He said, you could be my assistant. Oh, no, you should be my assistant. Don't you think that's a good way to talk to Jewish people? You know. So anyway, we had a good time, but we loved each other. But he said, you know, when you pray from the heart. I'm jealous for that. That was powerful. And so he said, you're more spiritual than I am. What he meant by that was, when you pray, it's like real. I'm jealous of that. I want that. Now, God is good. I believe we're the light of the world. I believe we're the salt of the earth. But we just haven't been the church that we need to be so that they can see it, not just say it, but actually experience it on a level. That's why I can go anywhere in the world, anywhere, anywhere, anywhere. And I always go to the worst, awfulest places, deliberate. I go among the pygmies. I go, you know, where it's no good. You can't drink the water. You can't eat the food. I go wherever. You can get disease. You can get shot. You get people hating you and so on. I deliberately go there to spread the good news. Why? Because I'm not mad at anybody. I'm not unhappy, and I don't care about my life. I don't care. Now, you do. That's okay. I understand that. I don't want to die, but I don't really care because I'm already dead. I just want to do what Jesus says. If Jesus says go, I'm going to go. He never has yet sent me to Hawaii. It's just a great place to go. They need it too. But I always go to God-awful places. India, China, you know, wherever. I want to go to all the bad places, difficult places, because that's where the harvest is the ripest. When you go where no one else wants to go, there's no competition. There's nobody there, you know, to hate you or put you down, because those people are glad to see some human being that's there. Why'd you come? Even in Israel, those people that have the tattoos on their arm, they're all probably dead by now, but there might be one or two left. But they're in their 80s or 90s right now. Those are all Schindler's List and all that stuff. Those people are dying off. But when you come to Israel and you meet one of them during the high festival, which is in the fall, they welcome you in, because they have to do this part of their deal. They have to welcome in Gentiles into their booth, into their booths, into their little set up tent things. And they go, why did you come? Why are you here? And you say, and they know you're not there for tourism. They know you're there because you love Israel. And you tell them, it's because we love Israel and we know that God has a plan for them, and it's never going to stop until you are completely restored to God's original purpose and intention. Tears start flowing down their eyes. And I'm telling you, they open up. There is no barrier in this world among anybody, Muslims included. In Badagry, Nigeria, I was preaching one time, and we had several thousand people there. And all of us, I love the way they did this. They had my picture on posters, but they don't do it like here, just one poster. They had like 20 of them all along the street, and then you go down another few feet and 30 more, and that's great. And I went, hey, that's me. That was exciting. I knew that was God. I knew that was God. At any rate, I was preaching, and it was about 10 o'clock at night, and we finished. And they said, now you have to pray for the people. And I looked out. I said, well, yeah, it's 10 o'clock. Don't we go home now? No. No, here you have to pray for the people. Me? Me? You pray. I don't even speak the language. I don't speak their language here. He said, no, you have to pray for each one. What? Over 500 of them were Muslims. I didn't know that. I had no idea I wasn't speaking to Christians. But just preaching the gospel. It isn't that they'd heard lots of gospel. They just came, said, we want to hear this man from America speak. And they came. And the question that they asked me over and over again was, how do we get a Bible? How do we get the Word of God? Send back Bibles to us. Because we want to learn about Yeshua. We want to learn about Jesus. We want to learn about the New Testament. The hunger in the Muslim world is magnificent. It's unbelievable. But you're never told that. The media will not tell you what's going on in Africa, what's going on in the Muslim world, what's going on in China, what's going on throughout the world. Some say 80,000 people every single day in China are coming to Jesus. That's just one country. I know of a statistic that says it's 40,000. That's half of that. But whether it's 40,000 or 80,000, over 100,000 every day are coming to Jesus for absolute certain, and it could be as much as 150,000 to 200,000 every single day. And they're not just joining the Methodist Church. They're not just joining some normal denominational church. They're coming all the way to Yeshua, to Jesus. It's powerful. There are 1 million believers in China that right now are planning a march across from China to Jerusalem. And Brother Yun and many others, and they have dedicated themselves to go to take their time, not fly in an airplane, but just take their time to go through India, to go through, you know, Afghanistan, all those countries where Jesus is not named, and die for the name of Jesus, if necessary. But they're going to go to Jerusalem. Over 1 million people, and probably much more than that now. That is revival. That is something too powerful. Why anyone would want to suffer and die for the name of Jesus, that shows you love the world. And that also is so convicting and so convincing. That's why I travel. I travel deliberately because I want to see firsthand myself, what's it like in Burundi? What's it like in Uganda? What's it like? We have over 8 million people listening to the messages that I preach right here. 8 million in just Uganda, one country. All my books, all my tapes, everything goes throughout the world. Why? Because it's powerful. And here's one of the things that I teach, and I'll close with this. The man should take the burden, the woman should get the blessing. Amen. I'll say it again because you probably didn't hear it. The man, as head of the house, should be the servant so that the wife gets all the blessing and he takes all the burdens. It's usually the other way around. In Africa, I'll tell you what, the women, and I love this, the women actually come and bow down to the man, and they just go like this. I love that. I tried to introduce it back here to Peg. Is Peg, you see, here's how they do it. Here's how they do it there. And they won't move until the husband, you know, dismisses them. It's great. And they don't even eat at the same table. And the women walk behind the man. I mean, so for me to teach that the woman is to get all the blessing, all of it, and the man is to take all the burden. If she spends too much money, get another job. It's your responsibility, even if it's her fault. How many love that message? Well, they love it in Africa. I'll tell you, maybe in America, maybe it's not that exciting, but in Africa, they love that one. I believe this is the time when a man from Africa will be raised up, a black man, who will bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the entire world. Just as Nimrod, the first black man who was the first emperor of this world, Genesis 10, led the whole world away from God and his purposes, so a new Nimrod will arise. When I teach this in South Africa, when I teach this in Uganda, wherever I teach this, men stand up immediately, particularly young men, but not just. And they immediately begin to confess their sins and say, I am the new Nimrod. I will lead the world back to Christ. And I could tell you story after story, miraculous things that are happening in the third world. Very little happens here in America. Tons of things happen in India, in China, in Africa, in South America. Everywhere you go in this world, it's too powerful. I believe this is the year when God has broken witchcraft 2 years ago. Broken it for the world. That doesn't mean it's gone. It just means, for example, I know it still takes place in Dallas. Thank God not here. But they still have it. Sometimes they do it out in the countryside. Did you know that? No. Well, they do it. At any rate, you don't have to look. I'm just telling you, witchcraft is alive and well. But God told me, I broke it, meaning it no longer has the power. Preach Jesus and it'll break. That is what keeps our cities and our country in chaos and in darkness. The witchcraft is everywhere, particularly among the young. Now, to win this generation, you can't just talk Jesus. You'd have to be living it. You'd have to have power and signs and wonders following with love permeating everything that you do and think and say and teach. So I believe this church has been part of what God's doing in these last days. You are the saints of the living God. Okay, it's four of them.
There are four of you that are the saints of the living God. Look, you don't have to be special. Just be you. Don't be what you're supposed to be. Be what you are and let Jesus do the rest. Jesus loves sinners. He loves them. Hates sin. Loves sinners. And let him clean you up. Let him do it all. All right, our God is good.